Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? We're wrapping our Dutch Love Month here with none other than Skylar McGonigal. And it's a special episode because Skylar is literally hours away from opening his first shop in Casa Grande, Arizona. New regional operator down there. Go check it out. It's going to be bananas. If you're in Arizona, Casa Grande, Dutch Bros is there now. What's up? Mind blown. So we dove into his story a bit. He grew up slinging the bean down in Shredding, working for the Resners, just continue to grow. Skylar is definitely a quality guy. Talks about that being his favorite core value. I think you'll agree that he's a good person to be steering the ship down there. So excited, yet another Dutch Bro stand opening. Just keep growing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Skylar McGonigal podcast. McGonigal.
Irish?
Irish.
Skylar McGonigal.
Yeah, there totally. Yeah. Skylar McGonigal, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stoked to be here.
Dude, stoked to have you. Well, we always like to kickstart with our guest. Yeah. What was the very first coffee you drank at Dutch Bros, and what do you drink now?
So the very first drink I ever got from Dutch Bros was a blended caramelizer. But how it got there was, it's kind of a funny story. Sophomore year in high school, I never had time before school to get my own coffee. Yeah. And so I used to pay this girl $5 to grab me a coffee on her way to school.
Like you would buy the coffee and give her an additional $5?
No.
I was like, geez, man, ballin'. No.
She would give me this coffee. I'm like, this is so good. What is it? She's like, oh, this is a Tidal Wave from Dutch Bros.
Tidal Wave?
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And it was so good. It was like a blended drink. It had whipped cream with like a coffee bean on top. And it was just like a clear plastic cup, so it was unbranded. And so I always just thought that was Dutch Bros. That's a Tidal Wave. And I'd never been to Dutch Bros before. Uh-huh. So I didn't know any different. And so the first time I ended up going to Dutch Bros, basically I was going to the Home Depot with my dad. My dad's a carpenter, so he has this huge furniture truck. Uh-huh. And so we couldn't go through the drive-thru, so we parked. And I went to walk into the stand because I had no idea that it was just a drive-thru. So I walk in and everyone's looking at me like, hey, what are you doing in here? Like, we got a walk-up window. Yeah. So I go around to the walk-up window and I'm like, hey, can I get a large blended Tidal Wave? And the girl, her name was Jamie, I still remember. Mm-hmm. She's like, we don't have a Tidal Wave. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's blended. It's got whipped cream and like a coffee bean. She said, oh, we don't really have anything like that, but here you go. Uh-huh. And she gave me a caramelizer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is so good.
Just give him a caramelizer.
Yeah, when in doubt, who doesn't like caramel?
Off to a rough start. You break into the stand. And then you're asking for something that doesn't exist.
I know. So she obviously could tell it was my first time. So she said, don't worry about it. This one's on us.
Oh, sweet.
And I was hooked. And from that day forward, I just like, I was a Dutch Bros fan. And I think I drank caramelizers for a month or two before I'm like, what else is there?
Sure. Yeah.
Caramelizer, it was a Milky Way.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I switched to Almond Joys and I drink Almond Joys all the way up until when I got hired. Now I drink ice cold brew with honey and cream.
Ooh. So yes. Well, honey action. Okay. So were you a regular at that stand and you just happened to find out they were hiring or just kind of dive into that?
I was 16 years old and I didn't really know my way around town too much. So the only shop I knew that existed was our Churn Creek location. And I'd go there before school and after school. And I knew that I wanted to work there. And so I went to turn in a resume and they were like, hey, we're going to open up a shop here pretty soon. We don't really need anybody at this moment, but keep on coming by. And so as time went on, the shop is right down the road. It's our Four Corners location. They opened up that shop. I'm like, shoot, like I must have missed it. Like I didn't get hired. Yeah. And I actually kind of had a little grudge for a while. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to not go to that stand at all because I didn't get hired for it. So I just kept on going to Churn Creek. But that stand was closer to school and I was running late one day. So I ended up stopping by and Chris Resner was working. He's like, bro, where have you been? Like, I've been looking for you. I got your new hire packet here ready for you. I'm like, oh, dude. So that's kind of
deleting all your Facebook posts. Like, don't go to this.
Yeah, right.
So I got hired in December 2006 in my very first, like, event with Dutch Bros before I stepped foot into the shop was the Christmas party. And it was just so cool how welcoming everybody was. And
yeah.
It's funny because I thought it was a lot of people back then when it was like 12 employees.
Yeah.
And now Reading's almost at 300 employees. So we've come a long way. But I got into the stands. I worked night shifts for a long time until I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. After high school, I ended up transitioning into working graveyards.
Oh, wow. And yeah. So now you're a man.
Yeah, I did that for a long time. I worked graveyards for probably 3 years. And in between those times, I explored different things too, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I saw like all my friends were going off and going to college, and they kind of figured out what they were passionate about. But I still didn't know. And I loved Dutch Bros, but I wanted to help people. And so I tried some different avenues, and I went through a firefighting academy. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with firefighting, but I kept on hitting roadblocks where, like, I went through the academy the summer or the school year after some of the craziest fires Reading had ever had.
Yeah.
And so the summer I went to get hired, it was just almost impossible. And yeah. Dutch Bros, they offered me an assistant manager position.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm like, whoa, this could be something that I do. And I can help people through Dutch Bros. So
yeah,
that was kind of the beginning of my leadership journey in Reading.
Awesome. I am curious. I never worked graveyard. You did it for 3 years. So how did you adjust? Like, what was your life like? Were you sleeping throughout the day? Like, how does that work?
Graveyards, I mean, they are a rough shift to work consistently. It was me and another guy, so it wasn't all on me, but...
Was it Caleb Sarcheri?
It was Caleb Sarcheri.
I love that dude.
Dude, he is so awesome. I haven't talked to him in a while, but he's such a cool guy. It was me and him, and I remember my goal was to see the sunrise every morning, and during the wintertime when the days are so short, a lot of the time, that would be the only time I saw the sun.
Yeah.
But... It was such a humbling experience to be able to work the graveyard and take that time and take that pride. And to this day, I say that, like, by far, the graveyard shift is the most fun shift to work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
some interesting kind of, customers, I can imagine.
You get interesting customers, but they are the ones that love you the best.
Sure.
Every shift you leave, just feeling like your cup's full, but you've also filled up other people's cups too.
Totally.
I made a lot of friends with the police officers.
Sure.
There's actually one, Brian, who he would sneak into the back of the shop and scare me. And so he's a cool guy.
Oh, wow. He's abusing his power.
Yeah. But yeah, you get some of the wildest customers too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they need Dutch love just like everybody else.
Nice. So assistant manager, was it at the Four Corners shop or?
No, it was at our Trent Creek shop.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So
I'd
worked
the flagship and the busy one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'd worked graveyards for a while, and then there came an opportunity to take that step up. And so I worked as an assistant manager for Whitney Randall.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first manager I assisted. And then I don't know if you guys know Calvin Gooch, still one of my good friends to this day.
Yeah.
I was his assistant manager for a while too. I was basically an assistant manager for several different managers. And I kept on hitting roadblocks, even still, wondering, like, why I wasn't given an opportunity to step into a more serious leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and Aaron, they're super transparent with growth in the company. And so they sat me down and said, hey, like, you need to work on this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until like I was ready to hear that kind of stuff that I really started to invest in myself as a leader. I moved away. I went to work for Hai Hong down in Santa Rosa. I had family down there. It seemed like a good time for transition in my life. And I got to work for Hai, and I love that guy. He's so fun to work for.
Yeah.
It was also super difficult because me and my girlfriend at the time, now she's my wife, we were doing long distance because she was still in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of set out a plan where we wanted to make it to where we can be back in the same town, mm-hmm. and where I can start seeing like growth, whether that was with Dutch Bros or not. So we sat down and wrote down all these goals before I moved back to Reading. We went on a date at a vineyard, and I was able to propose to her and take that next step. And so I think it was that time in my life where I really started to realize how much focus I needed. So from there, I moved back into Reading, and Chris and Aaron were more than grateful to like give me my job back working graveyards. And another opportunity came up to be an assistant manager again. And I'm like, hey, you know, like, it's not that I don't want to be an assistant manager. I just think that somebody else is going to learn so much more in this role than I can right now. The next step for me, I think, is going to be a management spot. And so Aaron was like, well, write me a letter on why you want to be an assistant manager. I'm like, okay, well, I don't really want to be an assistant manager. So I went in and they interviewed me for this spot. And I told them like, hey, this is where my mind's at and this is where I want to be. So anything you can do to like help me get there, or if you, I need to work on anything, like let me know, I'm all in. It wasn't long after that where the opportunity came up to be a training coordinator. And it was a new position for Reading Dutch Bros. By the time I finally got back around and said, yeah, I want this interview, Chris was like, okay, well, we already picked somebody else. But
man,
but they picked Matt Deacon, who I love that guy. Yeah. And they couldn't have picked a better person for the role. But they asked me like, hey, do you want to manage four corners? And that was my goal. That was the dream. Yeah. And they had ninja'd my brain so much where I'm like, I don't know anymore. I have to talk with my wife. I have to figure this out. Mm. And of course, I get home and my wife is like, why didn't you say yes right there on the spot? And so that's kind of how I got into my first transition into management. I knew what cost of goods were. I knew that payroll was a thing, but I didn't know what type of leader I was going to be. So I was super scared, especially going into a new stand where, I mean, I'd worked at Four Corners before, but it had been years since I had been there. The one thing that I knew is that I never wanted my crew to have to guess about who I was or like what I stand for. And so I made my priority to just focus on them. And I set aside time each week to just meet with them one-on-one for 20, 30 minutes at a time and just let them know who I was and got to know who they were. Yeah. And I think that it was because of that transition that I'm where I'm at today. Yeah. And it's like the importance of relationships is like it goes unsaid with Dutch Bros.
Sure.
But to double down on your relationships with people is so good.
So was it at that time when you became the manager, you were like, okay, like this is my career path now?
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to franchise or operate. But it's always looked different. It's always been something I've been passionate about. And during a lot of those transitions in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do and I tried different avenues, a lot of those times I would look to Chris and Aaron or my managers at the time and ask them for like their mentorship and for their advice. And once I got into management and started having these conversations with people, I realized that I was one of those people that people were coming to get advice on life. And I'm like, well, I'm helping these people out. I'm doing what I love in a badass environment.
Yep.
And so it was then where I'm like, this is a real thing that if I put in the time and the work and the patience, like this could be something I do for the rest of my life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Breaking news from Dutch Bros Coffee.
Hey, what's up, Dutch Nation? Just wanted to give a shout out real quick. It's the end of February and we have our Dutch Love Day results. Not sure if you heard the number yet, but you guys helped raise $351,561. Freaking awesome. Way to rally, team. For those of you who bought coffee, your dollar went a long way. Thank you so much. And now back to the podcast with Mr. Skylar McGonigal.
I hit Reznor up and I'm like, hey, like maybe like one or two things we should ask him, you know? And one thing he mentioned, he's like, oh, well, ask him what his favorite core value is.
I'm a quality guy.
And that's what he said too. He's like, he'll be quality.
I'm totally a quality guy. And every core value has its importance. I just think quality kind of transcends into everything.
Yeah.
Like the quality of the drink you make, the quality of the interactions you have with your customers, the quality of the way that the shop is presented. There's something magic about taking that extra time, that extra second to make sure that you're mastering your craft in every avenue possible.
Yeah.
So everybody in Reading knows that that's like the one I look out for. And it could come across like I'm picky for sure. Like when I get a cold brew with honey, that it's got to be melted in just the right amount of hot water.
Sure.
Like the ratios have got to be there. So
quality occasionally is the one that gets overlooked. We can't do that. Especially with those more magical handcrafted drinks that need a little more time and a little more finesse. Like that, like you just don't want to drizzle a bunch of honey in a cold drink. It's going to get all clumped out and weird, and you got
to
melt it.
I like how you said that it transcends to everything, because it's true. Like, you don't want to give somebody like a drink that's grinding and everything, but like, oh, I did it in 10 seconds, though.
It's what was different as far as your roles from stand manager to regional manager?
I feel like transition with Dutch Bros happens quickly.
Yeah.
But you have to wait for it. So I was managing our 24-hour stand, Churn Creek, at the time, and Christian from Twin Falls.
Gervais.
He got the opportunity to take over Twin Falls, and Chris and Aaron were like, hey, we want you to be the regional. So at that point, we had three regionals. So I took over two stands. And then it was like 3 days later where our other regional, Gabe,
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to Stockton. Right. And so I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. And they ended up just keeping two regionals. And so I went from one stand to two stands to four stands in the matter of a week.
Jeez.
And kind of the same thing with the transition I had from being a broista into manager is I knew it was about relationships. And the role is such a different role because as a broista, like you're serving the customers. And I feel like as you climb that ladder, you unfortunately get a little bit further away from the customers, but you still have people that you're there to serve. And so as a regional, I made my managers and my assistants, my shift leaders, like my customers and how I could serve them in the best way. I had to really learn how to prioritize things and know that at the end of the day that I'm not a perfect human and that if I only got 19 out of 20 things done, that's still a win and that there's always the next day. So prioritizing, I always thought that like, I mean, when I was a broista, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to be an operator. And when I was a manager, I'm like, oh, I'm so ready to be an operator. And I look back on everything I've learned in each one of those roles and I'm like, wow, thought I was ready. Yeah. But looking back on this past year as a regional manager, I don't know if I would be ready today if it wasn't for this past year.
Awesome. Yeah. So plenty of grooming. You know, every day has its own set of challenges. So yeah, it's such a good thing in life when you can just identify what is top priority, what has to get done, what is super urgent now. Let's just focus on that and then focus on the next thing. And it's really easy to look at like a list or something and just get so overwhelmed. Sometimes I fall into that trap.
You go from regional to now the new operator of Casa Grande, Arizona. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Is that how it's pronounced too, Casa Grande?
Casa Grande?
I've heard that it's Casa Grande if you're from Casa Grande, but if you're just reading it, it looks like Casa Grande.
It's like Boise versus Boise.
Yep. Something that I've always been super passionate about is I want to end up in an area that I feel like aligns with my own personal values too.
Yeah.
When I got the call from Chris and Aaron and they basically said, hey, this could be an opportunity for you. Crazy thing is they're going to need you in like 2 weeks. I'm like, I need to check this opportunity out. I can't just not see it.
Yeah.
I have to like get a feel for the town. Luckily, it worked out where Trav and Charles were flying out for a party in Phoenix. They were like, hey, you want to hop on the plane? And like, you can take the rental car and check out Casa while you're down there. I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
By the time I left, I had fallen in love with the town. Mm. It feels a lot like Redding. It's just a little bit more spread out. Instead of trees, there's cacti.
There you go.
So we get to Casa, we go into Starbucks, and we're getting coffee. And the Starbucks worker behind the counter is drinking out of a Dutch Bros breast cancer awareness mug.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, dude,
this town
is ready. Yeah. They want Dutch Bros so bad. So that was like the nail in the coffin where I'm like, this feels right.
That's awesome.
Dope. Yeah. That's awesome.
You're going to hire a whole new crew in a whole new area. That is crazy. But that's also exciting. So what's like the one thing you're looking forward to most with this whole next chapter of your life?
This whole experience has been super humbling. I've got a handful of people that have reached out to me saying like, hey, I'm going with you. And like, luckily they're people that I have a relationship with. I'm like, wait, you know, this is like in the middle of a desert and it's like three states away, right? Mm-hmm. They're so on board to like go and help change a community that's ready to experience Dutch Bros and be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so every day I think of like something new that I'm super excited about, but I think overall it just comes down to the connections that we're going to be able to make in that community that's like so ready to have a Dutch Bros. And so it's such an exciting experience. And like even the little things like which app we're going to use to communicate to the crew and like what days of the week are going to be like family night where we do Pictionary and stuff. The magic is in those little things. And I couldn't be more excited for the connection and the family that we're going to create in Casa Grande.
Nice. It sounds like, I mean, because you've been married for a while and with the same gal for a long time, like she's obviously on board. Has she worked in the shops too?
No. So Kayla, my wife, she's never worked inside the stands. And for a while, me and Chris and Aaron were talking about how we can get her involved with Dutch Bros in a different way. My wife is super numbers wired. Like her dream job is filling out complicated paperwork.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so, and just to kind of play into that a little bit, my wife has like super helped me in my journey and supported me in a way that like I really needed as far as like finances go. Mm-hmm. We had a competition when we first started dating where I was really bad at finances. So I like gave her control of my finances and she's like, all right, so your credit score is like pretty bad. Mine's in the 800s. So we'll see if you can ever beat that. And over time, like with her help, I was able to get my credit score super high and awesome. I even had her beat at one point. And so she's given me a lot of control in making these decisions that are going to change both of our lives.
Yeah.
But I know that her role is going to continue to look the same where she's my main support line and she's my accountability partner for life. I'm excited for the community that she's going to be able to experience for the first time.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
You come from a place, you know, with Rez and, you know, like you mentioned Christian and everything, going into this new area, who do you look to for advice, you know, kind of like mentor? And like, what is some advice that they have given you already?
There's so many people. The support has been insane from the time that I got to GP and hopped on that flight with Trav and Charles.
Yeah.
Charles has been like on my team and he's been so much support in this whole thing. And I feel like my business coach will play a huge role in that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm so prepared with the hard things that I had to learn in Reading and with the emphasis that Chris and Aaron put on leadership. I was able to learn a lot of the things and get a lot of tools to like take with me along the way. Matt Klutz, who is kind of the leadership guru of Reading, he is more than just that. He's a mentor and a friend for life. And I'm sure that there's going to be instances where I get him out to Arizona and get him to connect with the crew down there. So yeah, I would just say as far as like who I'm going to be looking to, like the people that are coming along with me, I'm so humbled that they're able to like take this risk and that they're putting their faith in Dutch Bros and in my leadership as well. And so I'm going to lean on them for a lot of things, just like I always have. I've always said one of the keys to being a great leader is to surround yourself by badass people.
Yeah.
And so I feel so lucky that I've got this crew that's ready to mob out with me. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never like truly alone, but it would be a little bit overwhelming without at least a couple people that you trust that have been alongside you battling in the shops. Mm-hmm. Be like, I'll give a shot on Casa Grande. You know, let's do it. Let's switch it up.
Yeah.
So outside of Dutch Bros, like what fills your cup?
I'm a total nerd. I like video games. The new Smash Bros just came out. Yeah. So I've been mobbing on that.
That you're speaking Shane's language. Yeah.
Even like, I play Magic the Gathering. I got a friend group. I'm going to miss my friend group.
I used to play that. Me and Brant, both. We still have decks. Dude. We just never play, but we loved it when we were younger, like high school, middle school.
It's fun.
It is fun. I'll defend that to the day I die.
It's like extra fun because of how nerdy it is.
Right.
It's like you get to like cast wizards and freaking dragons.
Yeah, totally. It's so strategic, though. I mean, like every card has a different kind of capability. So it's like, how do you put it together to like strategize how you can just beat somebody down?
Yeah.
I think you'd like it, Shane.
I played it before.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's hard to get started, but once you're there, it's addicting.
Yeah.
I have a friend group of just me and like one of my good friends and my tattoo artist, and we used to get together every Thursday night and play Magic at the tattoo shop. And
nice.
Like, so super nerdy, but there's a badass element to it too. Other than that, I've got a dog. He's basically like our child. We take him on walks all the time and just making sure that I'm like taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, so that I'm able to like continue on with my journey in Dutch Bros. Totally.
All good stuff.
Especially the role of a regional, you're on the clock all the time. Mm-hmm. Like anything can happen. And so it's always good to kind of just break away and do those things like that keep you grounded and remind you like who you actually are and stuff.
Yeah. It's still playing to your strengths as far as connecting with people, you know, because like you need other people to have that community. So
And
there's something therapeutic about being able to like play Red Dead and hop on a horse and ride around through the desert.
Bro, I nerd out on that every night.
I keep hearing how amazing that game
is. Me and my brother. Like there's a few games out there. I just grew up playing that. So when that second one came out, oh, you better believe I put some hours into that. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, we appreciate you being here, Skylar. So I like to kick it over to my compadre, Shane, to just kind of give our little sign off.
Yeah, bro. So basically, we always like to wrap this up. If you could give any advice to our barista audience, what would it be?
Well, I'm sure it's been said before and it'll be said again, but patience.
Mm. Yep.
Patience is so important. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me after working for 6 months and say like, hey, how can I be an assistant manager?
Yeah.
And I think like taking feedback and listening to the people that are telling you how to be better, like, hey, you need to work on these three things, but also wait, like you got to be patient.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready to hear no, because when that assistant management spot comes up, there's going to be 10 other people that are equally as qualified. And I firmly believe that the people that get told no 3, 4, 5 times, when they're told yes, there's nothing that's going to stop them. They're going to skyrocket to the top because like they've put in the time and the patience and the effort, and they've molded themselves to make it to where they're at. There's just nothing that's going to stop them. So patience is so huge.
Yeah. Trust the process.
You got to hang in there. And it's just awesome, dude. You're a total example of that. You want something, you stick with it, and you're willing to work on those little tweaks that you need. You end up being an operator one day.
There you go.
You got Red Dead Redemption and magic to hang out with your boys on the downtime, and it's all good.
Awesome.
Dude, well, we really appreciate you taking this little bit of extra time while you're down here, you know, getting your final coaching.
Thank you, guys. I'm super excited. This is like a bucket list thing for me, so
perfect.
Thanks for making it happen.
Awesome.
Oh, that's what we do. Make dreams come true.
Yes, I would love to think that. All right, folks. Well, there we go. Another one in the books. Thank you so much, Skylar. And Casa Grande AZ. It's official. So go support our brother Skylar down there and continue to support each other. Be willing to take that feedback. Not always easy to hear, but when we're talking about Dutch Bros, it's people that just want to better you and help you win. It's good advice. So until next time, take it easy, Dutch Nation.